The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Better than my man, Cairo Santos.
Yeah. Good kick by him yesterday. Nice trajectory to it.
Big winner.
It's a tough one.
Well, you know what? The victory for me is I thought we were going to lose by three touchdowns.
That's so true. It was close.
At least they just got to blow it instead.
Right. So they got your hopes up, whereas you could have been totally prepared.
Right. Yeah, as prepared as Jaguar fans were for yesterday.
Oh yeah, that one went pretty well for old Jacksonville. Mac Jones.
That was. That's what I call easy money. Look, you're not going to have an NFL line be 28 points, but anything 24 points or under, I was taking the Lions to cover.
Well, Corey, Titans fall to 2-8. Will Levis, 295 yards through the air, had the 98 yarder to NWI,
minus 50. He lost on the penalty.
Yep, exactly. Lost another one, another touchdown pass to Ridley as well. So I think we would all agree the last 2 weeks have been good for Levis. He's taken a step in the right direction. What did you make of his performance yesterday and what it may mean for him now moving forward?
Well, I think, you know, the big things for me are it looks like he's starting to get his confidence back a little bit. It looks like, you know, I don't know if I say it slowed down for him or not, but, you know, he's throwing more accurately, more decisively. You know, he's doing Will Levis stuff, as I like to say, which is the bigger shots deep, you know, hitting on those. I don't think, you know, I know the Ridley pass doesn't count, but the fact that they've connected back-to-back weeks on big ones, I think is important, because that's something we've been harping on for months now, is the lack of connection between those guys, and that connection looks like it's coming together. You know, we saw more arm talent throws from him. You're not seeing the big mistake, you know, from him. And, you know, yesterday that was a defense primed for the big mistake. And, you know, the 98-yarder, you know, he saw the coverage. He went after it. He made the throw. I mean, he deserves credit for that. Now, ultimately, they still only have 13 points. And he still doesn't have a win this year, as he pointed out. Those are the big things. But as I like to say, wins and losses weren't what I was looking at for this season. So, you know, as we look at that, you know, the last 2 weeks are our progress. And, you know, I just joked about the Jaguars. And while these are both two-win teams and both is a horribly depressing season, I think there's definitely a different spin on, you know, yesterday's performance in Nashville as opposed to the one in Detroit.
Yeah, I said earlier, I mean, you know, the Titans and Jags both came up 52 lines, but the Titans did score 14 as opposed to the Jags with 6. So the Titans are better than the Jags. That's my conclusion.
With the backup quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So right tackle, Corey, Let's take the Isaiah Prince up. We can talk about that too in the illegal formations. But
yeah,
Nicholas Petit-Frere yesterday had a few reps, after which I said, I can't believe that guy's actually in the NFL. Like, an NFL player made those plays. And I also, like, again, I was wrong, but I thought we saw some promise as a rookie. He had some good performances as a rookie. I mean, PFF sure thought so. And what the heck has happened to that guy?
Well, I just think it's a loss of confidence. Because you're right. I mean, as a rookie, it wasn't great, but you saw promise with him. But, you know, either coaches talk about confidence. When guys get victories and they get confidence, that's when they just start playing instead of, you know, thinking about what they're doing and trying to do what they're doing. They just start, you know, reacting and winning and making plays. And I think in his head right now, he's in a blender. And, you know, he's off balance and, you know, off guard. And it's just, he's a mess. He's a mess right now. You know, look, I'm not saying that I think he's going to ever be a great right tackle. I mean, shoot, it may be over for him if he can't rally the troops. But this is certainly the worst of him. You know, and, you know, I compare it to Levis, you know, where, you know, struggling with his confidence, struggling, you know, in the offense, and then he gets a little confidence, and all of a sudden you're making plays downfield. He's got to find a way to make some confidence if he's going to be effective at all. Look, he's not a combatant. You know, that's been it from the start, and that will always be a problem, in my estimation, in holding him back. But, you know, not a combatant and not confident makes you Andre Dillard. And right now he's looking more like Andre Dillard than the Nicholas Petit-Frere we saw his rookie year.
So, Corey, had a lot of thoughts on this today, so interested to get yours. Your thoughts on the officiating yesterday, the blunder on the Mike Brown call, and where that kind of stacks up in terms of some horrid officiating performances in the National Football League.
Well, I mean, what was the final penalty number, like 13-2?
It was pretty bad. I'll go look at the specific one.
Yeah, I mean, and look, good teams don't commit penalties and bad teams do. So there's some to that, but that is awfully lopsided. And I am never one to blame officials for wins and losses. It's a thankless job, and they're doing, you know, the best that they can. But when you're going to pull that hanky out in a play that changed the game, you better be sure. And, you know, on 3rd and 6, you're throwing an illegal formation penalty right off the bat. You're saying, whatever the Titans do, I'm going to can this play. And, like, I know the guy's got to get on the line of scrimmage and lined up. You see the video, it's marginal at best. Marginal on the touchdown throw. You know, to me, that's more of, hey, inch it up a little bit more than I'm going to throw the flag on this one because this is so egregious. I mean, we've all seen egregious tackle lined up in the backfield. We all know what that looks like, and that's not what that looks like. So that's just injecting yourself into the game, and that's not an official's job in my estimation. Now, two officials threw the flag on the play in the end zone, but again, that's 4th down. That's a huge play. That's 7 points instead of 0 points. So that's a 14-point swing with those two plays. And, you know, that's tough. You know, did they technically call him for launching? Or,
well, I mean, later said that even in the pool report.
Yeah. Well, his feet never left the ground.
Right.
Did he hit him high? Yeah. But he also hit him right in the chest with his shoulder. You know, and it's tough when two officials see the same thing. You know, if only one official had called it, maybe they overruled him. But two officials called it. And look, I understand what Mike Brown's doing. He's trying to separate man from ball and trying to do it legally. It's a tough call. It's a tough job. I understand they have a tough job. They do. And protecting players is a part of their job now. So I get that. But again, there's a game awareness for officials just like there is for players. And I know they're going to say, we're going to call 1st and 10 just like we would 4th and 10. Well, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Because what do we see at the end of games? We see guys get mugged and no call. because they let him play.
Well, I mean, I think they need to make the right call in any situation. But when I saw that play, Corey, like in real time, it looked like I was not surprised to see flies. Like, yep, there's a blast to the head, and you just you know. So like in real time, it seemed like a right call. Then we all watched the slow-mo replay. Oh no, he didn't launch, and he hit him in the shoulder. It's just a bad call. So in college, they have targeting. Right, and so and so because of the targeting, which can be a game ejection for the player, they have the review mechanism, and I just feel like the NFL, this is something where, you know, these guys can be saved from bad calls if you have this, and maybe even have more consequence for a play like this, you know, if that's what it takes. But I think there should be reviews.
Well, I mean, we have New York review. For like turnovers and even spotting of ball, we've seen booth review, you know, where they come down and say, you know, with aid from the booth, it's a first down. So why can't they say with aid from the booth, this was not a personal foul?
It's a great question.
I mean, look, you know, you can say, well, are you going to do holding? Are you going to do false start? I mean, are you going to do illegal formation? You know, with aid from the booth, it was not legal formation. You know, people can always look. I always talk to my daughter about this. There's two kinds of people in the world. People who look for reasons to say yes and people who look for reasons to say no. There are smart people who can figure out solutions. And you may not have the perfect solution the first time. So you, just like with the kickoff, you keep working on it and you keep making changes until you get it right. And I think, you know, they have changed the review process some to add some things. And I think as technology improves and the speed to which they can review and change improves, I think it will happen. But because you're right, there's no reason to not fix a mistake. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of replay should only turn over obvious mistakes, not splitting hairs mistakes of, hey, we went frame by frame and that showed that. That was ridiculous. But when you see an obvious one where, like in this situation, the booth could have phoned down and said, yeah, he just hit him in the chest. That's a legal hit. That wouldn't have taken very long. I mean, we all saw it. That wouldn't have taken long at all. There was no splitting hairs on that. And so I think there's definite room for improvement there and change there.
Is Doug Peterson getting canned today? You think is today the day?
I mean, look, you know, if your team quits on you, that's always like, you know, the big thing of, you know, you gotta change. But, you know, I didn't watch the game. I didn't need to watch that game to know what was going to happen. I mean, look, you could have had Vince Lombardi coaching the Jaguars with Mac Jones at quarterback. They're going to lose by four touchdowns because he's terrible. But that team's terrible. They're headed in the wrong direction. Firing Doug Peterson now doesn't change their season. All it can do is, hey, we need a different voice because this thing's going south. I personally would like to see them finish the year with Doug Peterson and just see how bad this thing can get.
By the way, real quick, you know, and I think of course it'll happen right after the show ends at 9:03. Trent Baalke is their GM. Six seasons.
Yeah.
30-64. Still got his job.
Good for him.
Still got his job. 30-64. No problem.
They picked in the top 10 since he's been there.
They've had a few.
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, they were like the Oilers were from the Edmonton Oilers from a few years ago, where they just picked the top five every year. And they still can't get it right. And it's I was talking with, you know, have you met Julian, our new sports weekend anchor?
No.
Okay, well, he went to his first Titans game yesterday, and he's moved here from the West Coast, and so we were having a long talk about the AFC South yesterday, and I said there's no team in this division whose fans have a greater sense of self than the Jacksonville Jaguars. I said Titan fans went into this season largely thinking if we can be 500 or a little better, that would be tremendous. Jaguar fans go into every season saying Trevor Lawrence is the top five quarterback and we're going to the AFC Championship. They're absolutely nuts. They're just a disaster of a franchise, and I don't know how they fix it. I don't. They're like a plane that never stops crashing.
I don't get the sense that Corey Curtis is very popular down there in Duval.
No, they're not. I'm not. If you check my Twitter feed, quite often the Jaguar fans really don't like me, and that's fine.
I don't think you care.
That's fine.
I
don't.
That's fun.
They can get in line. You know, southernmost Georgia is not my favorite place.
Oh, good stuff, Corey. Thanks for taking time to be with us. Great stuff as always. That was a beautiful way to end this thing. We'll talk to you next week.
The Predators won.
They did. Late night win in Vancouver.
Even Stamkos scored twice.
Yeah, he did. A couple of just rips that he had, too. There's a positive somewhere.
So we'll get a 5-on-5 goal before the season.
Well, maybe at some point. Corey, we'll talk to you next week.
All right. I'll see you guys. Joe, I'll see you at noon.
No? Okay, maybe. Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, sometime. Okay. At some point. Yep.
Yep.
We'll see.
Well, then I'll talk about you.
Okay. Please do.
All right. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. So we'll react to what Corey had to say. Take more of your thoughts here on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans lose 23-13 to Minnesota. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Titans lose 23-13 to Minnesota. They dropped a 2-8 on the regular season. By the way, the penalty count, Corey brought that up. 13 penalties for the Titans yesterday, 3 for the Minnesota Vikings. The official count, 13-3.
Yeah, I know it was, what, 8-0 at one point, something like that. Yep. Hey, guys, this is Roger Goodell. Vikings need to win convincingly. I got a lot on part of my parlay. Thank you.
Right. Big Sam Darnold guy, that Roger Goodell.
Yeah. I'm muting and unmuting myself. Yeah, I actually am very appreciative. Not a lot of pushback on the text line.
Yeah.
Thank you, text line, for confirming my faith in you.
By the way, 24 first downs for Minnesota yesterday, just 11 for the Titans. 24-11, the first down edge.
Titans were feast or famine.
Yeah, they were.
Pretty much. Were not able to sustain a lot. Someone says 95%. It wasn't 95% Viking fans. I'm pretty sure about that. Here we go. Yeah, here we go. I'm sorry, text line. Here's a text. I left the game right after that call. Knew the ref wasn't going to let the Titans have a chance to win. Vegas is going to make sure the Vikings cover that point spread. I'm done with the NFL. All the games are fixed. Yeah, Vegas, like all of Vegas was just completely hinging on the Titans-Vikings point spread. They had to have the Vikings cover the point spread. Huge money on that one in particular. Come on, people. Refs make bad calls.
So.
Refs are human beings that make bad calls. Now, again, when you see something real fishy, then what you need to wonder about is the individual doing the fishy stuff. But this whole... The league wants to be pro wrestling and completely gut itself. But just think about the absolute absence of logic in any of this conversation.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Joe, I know everything I've said to you through the years you think is 100% like legit and good, and so I'm probably going to hurt your feelings with this one because I'm going to put on my conspiracy theorist hat. But Friday night, Jake Paul, Tyson, fixed. Saturday night with the Vols, felt fixed. And then Sunday with the Titans, felt fixed. It was a whole weekend of it, dude. Like,
Do not put Jake Paul, Tyson in with I mean, that may have been – I have no idea. That whole thing is stupid. But that's not this, right? I mean, that's just a fight.
Hey, you could bet on anything. That's my point.
Right.
But look,
yes, you
look,
can.
Jake Paul's fighting Rex Road next.
Here's the problem, though,
kick
dude. Like – Well, you got a problem, right? Like, and the problem is that you have a bunch of Titans fans who pay a lot of money, which you can't defend a two-loss team very much. But with that being said, dude, like, I know the good teams get good calls. That was so blatant. And we pay
what
our
call,
money.
What
like
call in particular? What call in particular? Because, again, we've gone through it. I mean, we all agree that the launching call was bad. But what call in particular did you say, the NFL is in on this? Which one?
When you go three times in a row with that new tackle in there, wow. I think it's a certain – because you could call that any time, just like you can call Holden any time, Joe.
But we've seen – right, but we've seen that this year in the league, which is stupid. I agree it's stupid. It's a point of emphasis. We saw it earlier this year where it's like, really? You're going to keep – what game was that?
It was the Ravens-Chiefs to start the season.
Yeah, the Ravens-Chiefs game.
They called it on the Ravens like five times.
Are you guys really
– what are we doing?
I mean, look, two of those calls with Prince were right, in my opinion. He was off. Now, one of them, it looked like he had fixed it. The NFL doesn't give a crap who won the game yesterday. They do not give a crap.
But it got to the point.
Not a rat's ass.
Had to pick. The Titans had to pick. Could this dude block or can this dude line up correctly? They had to pick between that, which is incredible that we're at this point. So it's also
I'm with you on that.
Fan. We're looking for excuses. I understand, but at the same time. Dude, it was so hard to sit through it. Did you not think, and this is the last thing I'll let you go, when he launched that 50-yard pass, were you not sitting here going, it's probably not going to hold up? That's what I was doing. Like, I wasn't like, hey, yeah, touchdown. I'm sitting here going, let's see if there's laundry. And it came in, and it felt late coming in.
Well, I thought he threw it pretty quickly on that one.
Smile. Did you see the ref's face? He looked like he wanted to smile making that call, dude. Like, it was pitiful. It hurt my feelings yesterday.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, look. The illegal formation stuff, I'm largely with Corey in that discussion. Like, unless it's just absolutely egregious, then I think we're getting into just the minutia on that stuff that's just ridiculous and a waste of all of our time.
It's a huge waste of our time.
Yeah. Like, it's well, like, you know, I'm glad because, you know, they talked about it being a point of emphasis, and they do this a lot. Everything's a point of emphasis at the beginning of the year, and the first week the refs are going to throw the flag left and right, in hopes that that gets people in line to do whatever they're trying to
but
do.
But usually it's like stuff that I get right. It would be.
Well, yeah. But then it fades, right? It's a point of emphasis, and then it doesn't end up being a point of emphasis as the year goes. You know, after the second one yesterday, I was just like, oh, so we doing this again? It's just going to be a nice big illegal formation fest out there.
Yeah. Again, like one of them I was like, yeah, he is kind of lined up like he's the H-back.
Yeah, one of them was pretty
bad. It seemed like he kind of got better, but they kept calling. Yeah.
And apparently they warned him before they threw the first flag. That's what they also said in the pool report. Very, very educational pool report yesterday.
It was extensive.
Yeah.
Dennis says, we need huge ratings for the Super Bowl. Make sure Sam Darnold's in there. Yes, exactly, Dennis. William says, refs are humans and make bad calls. Callers are human and make bad texts. Well, that's
– can't happen.
That might be – yeah, it happens. I get it, guys. Yeah, I get it. You know, you're looking for answers, but it's just Joe is on the payroll of Vegas also. There you go. Well, maybe it is. Maybe we're all – hey, I've heard Stilly say that, like, NFL media is all in the conspiracy of saying the cap is real help the owners keep up the ruse. So, I mean, hey, actually, I've heard him talk about conspiracies with the league, so – maybe he can get it on this today.
More on the Titans' 23-13 loss to the Vikings yesterday. What do we make of Will Levis's performance, and how does it influence the quarterback discussion as a whole for the Titans moving forward? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Does this loss feel different for you coming out of a game where you feel like you played pretty well compared to some of the
I don't know. I mean, honestly, like I feel like last week in terms of just how I threw the ball, I was more accurate, and I made some better decisions here and there, but I was a little frustrated with a couple of the balls that I'm going to be watching on tape, but I just all I want to do is win, man. Like, there's nothing else matters, and it's been frustrating, it's been tough, but I mean, I haven't won a game this year. Like, I'm chasing that feeling, and I'm doing everything I can to get there.
As Will Levis after the game yesterday, Titans lose 23-13 to Minnesota. Will Levis with pretty good day statistically. Had the 98-yard touchdown pass to NWI. 17 of 31, 295 yards, touchdown, one interception at the end of the game. Quarterback rating of 84.7. So, Joe, we've talked a lot about Levis today. Back-to-back weeks where he's played well. Certainly has taken a step forward from where he was earlier this year. And I guess the big picture question is, what does it mean? Like, what does this mean in terms of his evaluation, where he currently sits with the Titans, the organization, the decision makers about his future, and what can still be done this season, what's still left to be found out of Will Levis as it relates to the quarterback position. We've talked about this. You know, the front office, what is their status going to look like at the end of the year? You know, it's a 2-8 football team right now. What's it going to be at the end of the year? Is it 4-13? Is it 2-15? Is it 5-12? Like, what does it look like at the end of the year?
Some enticing options.
Yeah, really good. Really good stuff that that's on the table, I think.
Do a poll. Titans. Which would you prefer?
Yeah. Well, I think we know the answer. Tankathon. Yeah. Titans are up to number 2 now. Number 2 overall pick behind Jacksonville. So congratulations for that. But I think it's encouraging from the standpoint of it was so bad earlier this year. It now feels like he's kind of settled in a little bit. And again, it's funny to say that because it again led to 13 points for the Tennessee Titans yesterday. But he has played objectively better football the last 2 weeks. So trying to see what that's going to mean for him moving forward is really interesting. I'm glad to see him play well the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to sit here the Monday after a 23-13 loss to Minnesota and overreact about it. Can he keep doing it? Like, where does he go from here? Is this a 2 week thing where he's just gotten a little hot and starting to play a little bit better? Can he continue to do this against Houston next week? I'm interested to see where this goes from here. But good on him for making it interesting, because I wasn't convinced he ever was going to make it interesting this year.
Yeah, well, we've basically been begging for it. Like, somebody do something different. They're not doing anything different. They're losing and scoring in the teens, but he is. So we appreciate it. And, yeah, I just think it's just, can he keep stacking it? The thing is, again, Chargers and the Vikings, like, those are good defenses. Those are good pass rushes. We've seen the pass rush work pretty well for the opponent. So, and now you go to Houston, not getting any easier. I mean, and I don't even know if Will Anderson's playing tonight. He didn't play against the Lions, but, you know, if you assume he'll be back by then you add one more guy. I mean, DeNico Autry, who knows what kind of wrecking of a game he might do at the Titans' expense.
Well, we know what he used to do against the Colts when he was going up against his former team. So,
yes. So, he's doing it. He is, to me, performing well. And it's interesting, his evaluation, it sounded like he kind of, right after the game, thought he played better last week. I think this was the best overall that he's played in the NFL, just because – yeah, it's just, first of all, again, you have to, like, that defense is hard. I mean, everybody talks about it. Every single quarterback in the league is like, man, that stuff's crazy. And certainly it wasn't perfect. They scored 13 points, but I thought he really made them pay and just made some big-time throws. The big-time throws weren't there early in the year, along with the mistakes that were. Now the mistakes are out of there. The ridiculous mistakes are out of there for the time being. And the big-time throws are popping up more often, so... And there is a time coming when he'll have some easier defenses to face too. And so can he just keep building, and can they figure it out? They're obviously not figuring out right tackle.
No.
So, it seemed like yesterday they just had some gaffes in terms of communication and protections that were like, just, you got to clean that up. If you do, give him a little bit more of a chance, get back to running the ball with some success, then he should have some good games ahead of him.
Well, what you said about the big-time throws is probably the most encouraging thing. Yes, it's encouraging that you've eliminated some of the bad mistakes for the time being, and you got to keep that up as you move forward. Like, that's, you're never going to be perfect playing quarterback, but you can't have some of the egregious mistakes that he was making earlier in the year. But coupled with that, there were very few plays early in the year where you're like, wow, what a nice play by Levis there. What a good throw by Levis. And you've started to see more of those the last couple of weeks. Why is it all of a sudden happening now? I don't know. But it has the last 2 weeks. And, look, I realize, the NWI play, it was a blown coverage. The dude fell down in the route. But still a great throw. I mean, hit NWI right in stride. Well, the blitz coming right up the middle. It was a great throw by Will Levis there. Made a couple other throws in the game that were big-time throws. Again, it wasn't perfect. But when you see him do that, that's – a performance like that yesterday and some of the passes that he made is why people get enamored with him sometimes, right? It's like, okay, well, there's a big-time NFL-level throw that really good quarterbacks make in this league. And he's certainly got to find a way to make them more consistently than he has to this point. But a couple of those throws yesterday, you were just like, okay, well, that's what you're looking for from that position. And it hasn't happened often enough this year. We'll see if it does moving forward. But I thought, more than anything, I would think when you go back and watch the film, a confidence-inspiring performance from him yesterday, if you're him looking at it. at the end of it.
Yeah, and it seems like you can see his confidence growing a little bit. And again, you're talking about the injury, the ridiculous turnovers, basically the whole city deciding pretty quick, okay, please leave.
Yeah.
I mean, that happened. That's all happened this fall. You get that little break, get healthy, and it's pretty close to as realistically as good as you could have hoped since then, which again still isn't great. So you got to keep that in mind too. But it has made the rest of the season interesting from that perspective, because there's not an easy answer at all for quarterback, even if you're at the very top of the draft.
Exactly, and you know. That conversation is not going away. Like, it's going to take more than what he did yesterday from a consistent basis. And, like, some people, it really doesn't matter what he does the rest of the year. They're going to be out on Levis the whole way. What I'd be interested to know is, where was Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon and the Titans decision makers on this 2 weeks ago? And has the way he's played the last 2 weeks, has it changed that at all in terms of their viewpoint of him moving forward? And that's what I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
It's a great question. Well, it's like the big circle. Like, what's their viewpoint of him? What's Amy's viewpoint of them? No. What's, you know, it's like,
there's also that.
What do they all think of each other, you know?
Let's get out of just that big group powwow in here. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Should we all just fire everybody and release everybody? Or how about Will? Do you like us, Will? Would you like to leave?
Yeah. It's a very fascinating dynamic that they've got going on. And then you factor in yesterday as well, Joe. They didn't run the ball at all. 19 carries, 33 yards as a team for the Titans yesterday, which equates to 1.7 yards per attempt. Not a whole lot happening on the ground yesterday.
Yeah, and that's – I mean, the Vikings, you know, they're all over everything, and they are. That's a very good defense. And it is disappointing because you kind of expect to have some success with this. I mean, that's what this offensive line has done, certainly way better than pass blocking. And Power's been really good, but they just shut it down, so – to me, that kind of makes the 295 more impressive. It's because it's not like it was like empty calories and garbage time, and it was a competitive game. And you know, until the very end, he throws one up and gets the pick, unfortunately for him. But yeah, the running game has to be part of the answer. Dylan says, "I thought Wellevis's pocket awareness was better yesterday. He actually stepped forward, could feel people around him, didn't stress him out as much. Thought he hung in there, took a hit when needed. He just seems a bit more confident. Maybe it's because he saw Rudolph was playing better than him while he was sitting out. Who knows? But I like him, and I want him to succeed." Yeah, I mean, look, it's nothing to get all super excited about, but it's interesting. Let's see if he can keep it going.
And again,
get better.
The most interesting part of all to me is they always find a way to end up in the teens. Doesn't matter how the quarterback plays. Doesn't matter what's going on around them. They're in the teens offensively. And they were again yesterday, even the low teens, 13.
Yeah. They find a way one way or another. You know, death taxes and the Titans in the mid-teens.
It's kind of unbelievable. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Final thoughts on the Titans 23-13 loss to Minnesota coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Tune in to Stillman and Company today from 2 to 6 for your chance to win Jelly Roll tickets for his performance at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, November 26th. Jelly Roll ticket contest supplied by Chiba Hut Subs, serving up dank food and chill vibes, now open in Donaldson, so make sure you check that out. Taking your final thoughts of the day on the Titans 23-13 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. Titans dropped to 2-8 on the season. And yes, for those of you who care about this, according to tankathon.com, the Titans have now moved up to the number 2 overall pick. Jacksonville's at 1 at 2-9 after they got obliterated by Detroit yesterday. Titans at 2-8, the number 2 overall pick right
Congratulations.
Now. There are some people that really care about that.
Hey, tell you what. Levis keeps playing well. You get the number 1 pick. Someone somehow is enamored with Ward, Sanders, somebody, and you trade down for a bounty, and you know, you're sort of repeating history, right?
Yeah.
Except that was what, like, the first thing John Robinson did as GM. Served him pretty well.
It did.
But these guys could use a boost like that.
It served him pretty well. It's It really is amazing to watch. You brought up Nicholas Petit-Frere. He had a couple of snaps yesterday where I was just like, I don't know that you could play any worse than he played on a couple of those snaps. Like, it's pretty amazing. Like, look, we talked about him heading into the year. Even for somebody like me who wasn't really sold on him heading into the year, he wasn't this bad.
My God,
like,
no.
He was not this anywhere close to this bad. Like, you're talking, this is Andre Dillard. Yeah. Maybe worse than Andre Dillard.
Just falling just on the down other side. And letting – just turnstile stuff.
It's awful.
It's bad. No, I'm into it with somebody on the text line about how bad he was a rookie. But look, whatever measure you want to do, go back and watch the games or look at the PFF grades or whatever. He was a serviceable rookie. And he seemed to get worse later in the year.
And he took his lumps at times, which all rookies do.
Yeah, that rookie year, anybody wants to try to revise history, and he was just terrible, just the same thing. That's not true. It's not true. And Bill Callahan obviously looked at that film and the 5 minutes of film from last year, I guess,
yeah,
and decided that he could work at right tackle. And we're also getting texts about Bill Callahan. You know what? It's fair. It's fair to ask why he thought that.
Yeah.
Two, why he hasn't been able to help him be – why he has regressed as a player this year. This is the worst he's ever played football. I'm confident in saying that. I mean, just because you probably dominated high school. And he was fine at Ohio State. I mean, like, Aiden Hutchinson ate his lunch. But, I mean, this is like – he has regressed. Why? I mean, it's a fair question. The right tackle, the whole thing. It's fair to ask why the offensive line guru hasn't had more success. It's not his fault that Cushenberry gets hurt, but overall, it's just a really bad offensive line, and I figured there would be more of a positive impact than there has been.
Yep, no doubt about it. And it's not getting any better, right? Like, so we're talking about Levis, the pressure that he was under yesterday. He took 5 sacks, got hit 9 times in the pocket yesterday. Right tackles, they're clearly grasping at straws. Like, they're bringing in people off the practice squad and signing people off of other people's practice. Like, you've reached the point where you're just trying to find anything that's got a pulse out there that can get in the way of somebody. So to sit here and think that that's going to get better as the season moves along here, I think is probably not living in reality. So how much can you overcome that if you're the Titans? Yes, to your point. Not every defense you see is going to be like the Chargers last week or Minnesota. You got a pretty good one coming up this week against Houston. You do have Jacksonville still twice on the schedule, so that's good.
I know. You've got some weeks where you might actually have a little comfort in the pocket and have a chance to make some plays.
Got the Colts again. Like, they're not exactly world beaters at getting after the quarterback. So
they got after your guy yesterday, though.
They did. They did. Shout out to the Jets. Did you see the stat where – apparently, Aaron Rodgers' winning percentage as Jets quarterback is worse than, like, Mike White and Zach Wilson. It's pretty pretty amazing.
That is wild. Let me get to this text real quick. It's insane to me how we keep talking about Levis individually without addressing Callahan's coaching of him and lack of tailoring the offense to his skill set. Levis and Burrow, different QBs. It's a long text. So I understand what you're saying. Levis, as we saw the other day, throwing the ball down the field. But, again, here's a problem. If you can't protect your quarterback, then you can't do some of those things. I think that, I mean, Brian Callahan has talked all along how he understands he has a different skill set, yep, and he understands that his strength is going downfield. And they've had plays where they've gone downfield. They've gone successfully downfield. Should they do it more? Yes. They also need a burner at receiver, all due respect to NWI and his dominant season. And they need to protect him again and again and again. And it continues to come back to that for me in terms of this offense averaging 16 points a game.
Well, by the way, they had some shots earlier in the year down the field that he just missed on. Like, him and Ridley have missed on a lot of those, and now they're starting to connect, which is exactly what we've been waiting for. Now, can that continue as they move ahead here? I know the one got taken off the board yesterday, but still, I think it's good to see that connection continue to build.
Yep. Things are looking up for your 2-8 Titans, everybody. That's the bottom line, okay? Get excited!
I'm just glad we're not talking about the draft today. I'm sure we will at some point.
We keep putting it off. We keep putting it off.
Way to go, Will Levis. Nice performance.
Thank you, Will.
That does it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chasing Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No